Express yourself. Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself. Whatever you do, do it good. Whatever you do, 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 Lord, Lord, do it good. Oh yeah. It's not what you look like when you're doing what you're doing. It's what you're doing when you're doing what you look like you're doing. Express yourself.
That's right, express yourself. Everyone, welcome to Katie and Kay's Express Yourself program. Every Friday, we're
every
here.
Every Friday.
Every single, pretty much Friday from 4 to 5 p.m., brought to you by the Carbondale Creative District, preserving the creative ethos of Carbondale through advocacy, support, and action. I'm one of your hosts today, Brian Colley, joined by the lovely...
Ooh, I like that. Lovely Amy Kimberly. And here on Express Yourself, we feature all things culture and creativity in and around the Roaring Fork Valley, from visual artists and makers to performing artists and musicians and beyond.
Wow.
Whoa.
Here's what's coming up on today's show. A little later, be sure to stick around for an update on all things Carbondale Arts Fashion Show.
Ooh.
With the theme this year of Camera Obscura.
Ooh.
Is that how you're saying it?
That's true.
Kind of dark, noir
Very
way.
Film noirish.
That's coming up in March.
And towards the end of the show, we'll talk with the unbelievably talented Mandy Moore, choreographer, dancer, producer, and dance instructor, and her sister Missy, artistic director of Thunder River Theater, as they fill us in on Thunder Chat, a keynote speaker series coming to TRTC this Saturday. All that and more. Tune in or stream online.
Oh, yeah, look at that. But first, we're actually going to travel to the distant north with two special guests here in the studio, all the way to Scandinavia for the Northern Light, an intimate evening of Nordic music at the Old Thompson Barn this Saturday night by Ben Feng Music Productions. So we'll be right back, and don't touch that dial.
Oh, yeah. We are going to do some expressing. What a great show we have planned today. I'm very excited. Lots of people in the studio this next hour, and they are all incredibly talented people. So how lucky could we be? We are here right now with Sandra Wong. She is an amazing fiddler and a nickel harpa player. So stay tuned to learn all about the nickel harpa. And Minsa Wu. Minsa is the artistic and executive director of Ben Feng Music Productions, a new venture in the universe. Yet, it really has been around in various forms for many years here and in Taiwan. So welcome both of you.
Thank you.
Sandra over there somewhere. All right. Well, we are going to get into some live music playing, which is just my favorite thing when we get to have live music in the studio. But first, I would love for our audience to get a little overview of you, Sandra, and also what Northern Lights is. It is part of the Ben Feng Barn Music Series, which is the second of the series, is tomorrow night at the RVR Barn. But, Minsa, let's have just a whole little overview of your vision.
Yes, so the Barn Music Series is really a continuation of the Garden Music Series that Carbondale Arts presented, and Amy invited me to be the curator. And we've had three wonderful seasons of eclectic programming and of celebrated musicians from locally and nationally and internationally, and just convene here. And so we're really continuing with that idea of just being very playful with music around the world and from our heart. So we have four programs for Barn Music Series, and many of you probably heard in September the Postcards from Near and Far, and this one we're going to travel, like Brian say, to the Northern Light.
Ooh, I wish we could get some Northern Lights. But it's exciting because this vision, we really get to benefit here in the Roaring Fork Valley. But it's a much larger vision in sharing this music throughout Colorado, the United States, and who knows beyond that. But we are lucky because, Minsa, you have a strong connection with many incredible musicians around the world, and we get to benefit.
Wow, I love that. I think it's a win-win-win because, like, you know, the case of with Sandra, she's really my soul and music sister, dating back to a quarter of a century ago. And really, when we play, and I'm going to borrow the quote from my daughter Camille, because she was in the room as we were rehearsing. She said, "You guys just look and sound the same." So it's just so much fun. And she's not only a Nico Harpa player, she's really a Nico Harpa maestra, because I don't know if there's anybody in our immediate circle and or around Colorado or around the country really who is so deeply immersed in this tradition. So I'm so thrilled to have her here with us in this Barn Music Series.
That's fantastic. So Sandra, yeah, you really started out, you know, learning violin, probably more classically trained, yeah, when you were young, but then you fell in love with the fiddle, yeah, and then, you know, tell us your story. It's really interesting that led you to all,
yeah,
of this.
Well, it started when I was 6.5 years old, I saw Kim Wo-chung play the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. And I can still remember I was in the balcony and every hair on my body was standing straight up. And I knew that that's what I was supposed to do. So deep love of music. But when I got to college, I had a boyfriend who was taking Irish fiddle lessons. And I like to say the boyfriend didn't stick, but the Irish fiddling did. And so it started with Irish fiddling. Then I started to go to bluegrass festivals and old-time music festivals. And really, for me, it was an enhancement to everything I had grown up with in the classical world. And it really shifted my value system around music, because folk music is really about community, mm-hmm, and it's about, mm-hmm, dance. It's about joy. And I was coming from a world that was very much focused on perfection of form.
Mm-hmm.
So when, mm-hmm, the fiddling came in, it was like something cracked inside of me, and a whole new dimension of music and life connected with music opened up. So it started with those styles. And then I moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and met a young woman who had lived in Norway. Mm. And she gave me a whole bunch of CDs and tapes of Norwegian and Swedish fiddling. And I felt like I had musically come home. And wow, I couldn't understand it. And so 2 weeks later, the Folk Alliance came to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I met all of these master musicians. And again, it was like, I am of Chinese and Eastern European descent, not a single strand of Scandinavian DNA. But I felt like I had met my family. So within 3 months of that meeting, I was in Scandinavia in Sweden with a Nico Harpa, and I traveled for 3 months, and the rest is history. Yeah,
wow.
Totally hooked.
Tell our audience what a Nico Harpa is.
Yes, a Nico Harpa is an instrument that actually predates most of the instruments that we know. There's a little controversy as to whether it dates back to the 1100s or the 1600s. I'm going with the 1100s. And it is It's a bowed in stringed instrument, so it's in like the violin family. And the shape of the body is violin-esque, but I hold it horizontally, and it has 16 strings. So 12 of the strings are just sympathetic strings. So they're just resonating and going, oh, you can do it when I'm playing the other strings. It gives it a very full sound. And I have a little adorable bow that I bow vertically. And part of the reason it has to be shorter is otherwise I would poke myself in the face. And so it's just kind of a practical
But it's a very elegant instrument to look at and to hear. And when Sandra plays it, you're just going to be mesmerized.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we do not have the nickel harpa here in the studio, but we do have two fiddles, and I have a feeling we could hear some really fantastic music.
So this is a tune called Nasragen.
Gosh, that's lovely. And that is going to be played tomorrow night, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, listening audience, tomorrow night is sold out. So we're really lucky to be able to get a little taste of what to expect. So can you talk about the next song you're going to play?
Ah. So before that, so of course, you know, the nickel harpa is just travel for almost 5 hours from the front range, so we thought that, you know, it just needs a little rest. But the twin fiddling is a very rich tradition in the Scandinavian music as well. Yeah. And of course, every single piece of the Nordic music that we'll be playing tomorrow, I learned from the maestra right here. So I'm going to let her talk about that next piece.
Yeah. And the piece that we just played and the piece that we're about to play are both polskas. And that is the most common dance form that you find in Scandinavia. And the underlying pulse of that is 3-1, 3-1. And I had a woman come up to me. This was very amusing. I, as a Chinese Jewish lady, was playing for the 50th anniversary of the Swedish Club of Denver and teaching them about their instruments and their music. Wow. And a woman came up to me afterwards and she said, "My daughter's a surgeon, and she had to leave, but she wanted me to tell you that's what she hears under the stethoscope every day."
Oh, wow.
So it's the heartbeat, is the kind of the underlying pulse. So the next polska that we're going to play is actually written by a friend of mine and a teacher of mine, and his name is Per Jean-Alexander Olsen. And he is the third master fiddler in his family. So it's this rich, rich lineage. And so his father has written tunes, his grandfather has written tunes, and now he's writing tunes. And this tune is written for his son, who is now, it's basically about a rambunctious boy, and it's called Lillebusen.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Wow. What fun. Well, I mean, that it seems like as much fun as it is for us to listen, right, Brian? They look like they're having more fun than even us.
I know. You really feel that heartbeat in the background when you're playing like that. The heartbeat is very well heard and felt. I love that.
So you might be entering from a cold night, but you are definitely going to exit with all the warmth in your body and your heart.
That's so great. And what else is in store for Ben Fong, just real quick, while we have you here? Because it is a series.
It is a series. And actually, after this concert, we realized that we really should increase our capacity. So from our next show onwards, we're going to have two shows per program. And our next show, the Bar Music Series number 3, is going to be Haydn's 7 Last Words of Christ. It's a string quartet composition inspired by 7 Last Words of Christ, and we're going to have 7 speakers from our spiritual community here. And that's April 17th and 18th at the Thompson Bar. And we're going to close out the series with a Venezuelan celebration where we're just going to dive in deep, deep, just like this time with the Scandinavian music. But we're going to go to Venezuela and really just fall in love with the music, with the people, with the soil, with everything that inspires them.
And Sandra, you also play with Tepa. Gonzalo.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that there is a connection here,
yes,
too.
That is it Gonzalo? And who else is coming up? Is it?
He's going to bring a quattro player from Miami, I think, Edward.
Nice.
Yeah. And Josefina Mendez will be part of that.
Oh,
as well.
Fabulous. It's going to be so fun.
You know, music really is the universal language. So,
and we need it more than ever.
Absolutely.
Well, real quick, before we go, I would like both of you, Sandra, if you can tell us where we can find out more about you, because we're going to play a little off of a CD you have.
Yes.
And then, Minsa, just tell everyone how they can stay connected to Ben Fong.
Yes. So I have a website. It's it's actually spelled Sandra, so sandrawongmusic.com. I have to apologize because my calendar is out of date. But I do send out newsletters from there, and you can sign up on the mailing list there, and it will soon be fully up to date. So.
Nice. Or you can be in touch with us, and we'll be sure to put you in touch with Sandra as well. Mm-hmm. And for more Ben Fong Music Productions information and upcoming shows, please go to Ben Fong, and that's spelled BenFeng, musicproductions.org. And for those of you who haven't heard my spiel, Ben Fong is much better than Ni Hao, because Ben Fong means running with free spirit. And that's, again, what we all need now. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. All right, here's a little off of Sunny Side Up. Sandra Wong and Dominic Leslie. Thank you.
listening to Katie and Kay's Express Yourself. We're taking a little dive into Sandra Wong's Sunny Side Up CD, which is now in the Katie and Kay collection. And we're moving into our next segment of the show, all about the Carbondale Arts Fashion Show, which is coming up early March. March, I believe, 6th, 7th, 8th. March 6th, 7th, 8th of 2025, with the theme Camera Obscura. And I'm going to turn off everybody's mics on. Hi, everybody.
Hey,
hi.
Brian. Before we even start, I think we all have to say happy birthday, Brian.
Oh, thank you. Do I have a speech prepared? No.
No.
Well, thank you for that. I'm excited to get older and wiser, maybe.
It's the best. At least one of us is.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, gosh, I feel like the all-stars are here to talk about the how many years is this for the Carbondale Arts Fashion
Show? That really
show?
Is a good question. I believe it is 18 because the 18. Rec Center is 18, and I think it's the 18th year of Five Point. And they might have 1 year on us, so I'm not sure. So it's either 17th or 18th. Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that old or that long enduring. Yeah.
And that's
show.
Just the rec center. We actually did it for 2 years before that at the community, at least 2 years. In fact, the first one was 2004, the Fashion of Politics, because it was a big election year.
Oh.
That's when we started.
I like that. Do you have some, and Amy, how long have you've been there since day one? How did that whole thing get started? How did there come to be a fashion show in Carbondale?
I had been part of the Telluride AIDS benefit in Telluride, and we raised our money through a fashion show, which still exists today. And I just loved the format of how you can intertwine theater and runway and dance. There's just something powerful about that runway that allowed a different kind of experience. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to bring it here, and I always wanted to do it. And so it started. The first year was a fundraiser for KD&K and Carbondale Arts.
Very cool.
And we really wanted to focus on the sustainability, environmental impact of fashion. So that's how it all got started.
And it's evolved, of course, over 18 years. If anybody's been to a recent production of the Carbondale Arts Fashion Show, it is something else. You are not in Carbondale anymore. You're transported to, I don't know, I've never been to a fashion show like anything else like this. So how's that process been going? You've gotten a lot of other people involved, and a lot more just levels and quality to the show.
Well, Laura, you came on when? What year?
2012, I believe.
This is Laura Stover. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
Stover. Thanks for joining.
And
who else
Megan,
is here?
Megan, you came.
This is Megan Shapiro. I came in 2016.
Okay. So you've both been part of it for quite a while, too.
Yeah, I was just in the... While Amy was talking, I was just trying to remember how many years we were off as well there. We were somewhere between 2 and 3. We couldn't quite remember.
I think it was 2.
Well, there were 3 missed shows if you count the one that could have gone on if we had just 24 hours earlier gotten going. So 2020, we got canceled. 21 and 22, there was no show.
Yeah.
Little break in there, but
only made us better, right?
Yeah.
Girls?
Yes. All the time to prepare for 2023.
Amy, you are the director, artistic director of the fashion show, would you say?
Yeah. We're at the point where we're basically co-creators, I would say. I do the choreography for all the model lines and a lot of organizational stuff between designers and procuring designers and getting models and making it all, that part all work. But we all co-create the story. And then Megan, say what you do.
So I'm the director of choreography for the dances. I do most of the choreography, but I also have a few other people choreographing. I have Emily Pfeiffer assisting me in general and choreographing. And I have a student choreographer this year, Sam Stableford, who I'm really excited to support. And then when we have any music editing or score creating for the dances, I do that as well.
Wow. And Laura, how about you?
I run the projections along with a bunch of other people that help me out there. But in terms of what the visuals look like that are happening behind the dancers, that's what I work on. So far this year, I've had we try to film those whenever possible so that we're creating completely fresh and original content, which can be tough to do, but we try to do as much as we possibly can. And this year so far, we have already done one video shoot with Jeremiah Hutchins and Brandon Luck McDuffie, and we have another one slated shortly here with Ashley Moser. And I'm really excited about what we've gotten so far and what we're going to be capturing in a few weeks.
But Laura also does all the styling. So I would say just she kind of pulls it all together visually on many levels. Yeah. And she's also a designer. So
that's handy to make
designer.
It a cohesive vision design overall.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about the theme this year and how that all came about? We mentioned it earlier, but how'd that evolve? And each year, if you're not familiar with the fashion show Carbonell Arts puts on, it's got a different theme, a different feel every year. We've had the theme of supernatural. We've had, I'm going to need some help here because I...
Down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
The Wizard Underground.
Of Fairy Tales, Mirror.
Yeah.
You already said supernatural.
So it's a lot
sci-fi.
Of...
Sci-fi.
Yes.
Fabulation was last year.
Fabulation. So a lot of storytelling goes on. There's always some kind of underlying message or feel. And this year's theme is camera obscura. What does that mean to you?
I think that the biggest thing is film noir, where we're pulling a lot of our inspiration. And we've got to give a shout out to Morgan Williams.
Okay,
Morgan Williams. Your brother-in-law, because I heard that this was originally his idea back in the day, and it's just been sitting on a shelf. but that's where a lot of our inspiration is coming from. Also, a little bit cabaret vibes going on. And what else would you guys say?
Well, I'd say...
I don't want to give too much away.
There is a bit of that idea... of voyeurism and kind of looking in and secrets and dreams and just we're in a place in life where there's a lot of escapism, I would say, in this production, but then there's also kind of a lot of feelings people will relate to.
Yeah, and I think the title, the camera obscura, the actual thing that is a camera obscura, that black box that you look into and you see whatever it is that you might see, kind of pulls all of that together, that mystique and that looking and that what's in the shadows and what we can and can't see, and kind of pulls all of those pieces together from noir and from cabaret and what's happening all around us. I kind of keep thinking of the rec center as its own camera obscura that we get to pull everybody into for the show.
That's where the fashion show takes place, at the Carbondale Rec Center, which is like a box
which
we
will transform magically.
We're
planning it to feel like kind of like a club that you're going into, who knows, maybe Desi Arnaz will be playing.
Oh, that kind of club. Okay. And once the theme is chosen, which I assume is the three of you kind of brainstorming with people, what's the process like after you choose a theme? Do you meet together to kind of come up with some thematic visuals?
It's super smooth after that.
We have
no problem.
It's chill.
Just falls into place.
It's chill.
We're all just like, yeah.
There's a lot of work. There is a lot of meetings. I mean, we start back in September, sometimes August. Yeah.
Wow.
We start way back, and there's tears, there's laughter, there's, you know, changes. It's a fluid experience.
Yeah. There's a lot of ideas. I mean, I think when the theme lands and each of us has our sort of area of artistic expression, and so all the ideas start flowing. So the trick is the coming together and taking all that into funneling it all into something that feels cohesive and is one show. And I think, yeah, it's bumpy, but we pull it off. We do it.
We all have things that we're individually passionate about typically with a theme. And so I think that helps very much that we end up with something that relates to all types of people and all, you know, entertains people in a lot of different ways, because we all kind of make sure that, you know, that one or two or three things that we're individually passionate about makes it in. And then, you know, we tie it all together nicely. But
I think too, like if we followed only one of our visions, it would get kind of narrow and even a little bit myopic. And like, because you're getting pushed from these different directions, because I see things through movement, for example, if it would narrow into that. And instead the show stays really multimedia and really expansive and really surprising, because there's, you know, multiple inpourings of content and ideas.
Yeah. The show is super dynamic. You never know what to expect minute to minute. And I am just curious about each one of your like more specific process and like what actually goes into once you have your idea. I mean, Amy, you're working with the models, but you also pick a lot of the music. Is that right? And what kind of research goes into that kind of thing? And for Laura and Megan as well, like what kind of research do you do to kind of influence the direction you go in?
Yeah, I think we are continually going deep. I mean, for me, it's just perusing the internet, Spotify. Megan sends me things. Adam Lavin, a lot of different people send me ideas. Interestingly, you know, and I just try to find music that takes us through these different sections. And that is, I only do the model music. Megan does all the dance music. Mm-hmm. But we do weave it all together. And this year, I will say we are really being more stylistic, I think, in our approach, because film noir is such a juicy subject and so distinct. So the soundtrack will reflect that. But yeah, it's months and months. I mean, I was changing music today already. I mean, it's changed up until the moment it's blocked, and then we're stuck with it.
I guess process. I mean, we start with an audition. We have auditions now, so that we can make sure we're. That people who want to dance, who maybe saw the show and haven't and thought to themselves, oh my gosh, I want to do that, I can dance, can have an opportunity to get involved. So it starts then in October, and then we started rehearsals in November this year, so earlier than ever. But it's been nice. It makes for a longer process, but I think slightly less chaotic for us. Yeah, like I said, Emily Pfeiffer is assisting me, and that's amazing to just have a collaborative partner in the dance studio. And, you know, I mean, I'm pretty contemporary, modern trained starting in college, but as a young person, I did a ton of jazz and musical theater, so I'm having so much fun back into that world.
Nice.
Yeah, watching a little film noir, watching some cabaret, listening to music, finding the inspiration, finding the different movement that captures that. It's been really fun.
Awesome.
And for me, as we're usually in those meetings we mentioned earlier, where we're talking about the storyboard and where we want to go and what's going to be happening, I just get all these visuals in my head. And for me, it's like I look at references as well, of course, but how do I make those come to life? And every year it's very different on how I do it and who I need help from. Like in the past, Wiley Chenoweth has been a great partner in helping me animate, because that's not a skill that I have. And while I like to edit video and I like to, you know, direct film shoots, I'm not, you know, talented cinematographer, videographer, and, you know, like the last time we did video before this, I worked with Michael Stevens and Ethan Harrison, and that was gorgeous content that I'm still really proud of. I think in general, when we get to, when I get to work with these other people in the community and make content from scratch to put up on the screens, that's when I'm always the most proud of it. But I mean, Rachel Gillespie has been there in the past, Maria McFarland, like, just, now I'm just name dropping.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I never come on the radio. So thanks to everyone that's helped me.
And
I forgot you. I'm so sorry.
I think that it is true that this show, while we are maybe the core co-creators, it is so many people's energies. I mean, we have 28 designers, amazing designers that are creating, and some of them give me great ideas for blocking or music that they'd like. There's, you know, Pam, my sister, is an incredible stage manager. She's been with us for years and wrangles the models and keeps everyone together. There's 50 models this year. How many dancers?
Nine
dancers, and then some others.
And some others.
Some others. There's some surprises we're going to leave out there.
At least nine.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So
it's a big community.
It's a big community, and Carbondale Arts, it raises money for. And so you guys are all doing your part too, keeping it together, helping raise money, because it's not a cheap show to put on by any means. But the quality, I mean, it's well worth it.
Oh yes. Yeah, it's stunning. I mean, visually and everything, if you've ever been, you will want to come back. And I should just share ticket info, because we are only a few days out from dropping some tickets out there, and they go so fast. So if you are a Carbondale Arts member, it's not too late to become a member to get the early bird tickets. They go on sale this coming Wednesday, January 29th at noon. That only includes 100 general admission tickets for Friday and Saturday shows. That doesn't include VIP yet. So that's only early bird for Carbondale Arts members on Wednesday at noon. And then public sales start February 5th at noon. So public sales include all the other GA tickets plus VIP tickets available that day, as well as volunteer signups and budget-friendly ticket options for the Thursday night show. So save the date, January 29th for early bird, February 5th for everybody else.
And it's important to note that the tickets last year sold out in about 4 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, might have even been sooner. So you do want tickets, I would suggest being online or become a member of Carbondale Arts, get them early. And then there also are volunteer opportunities, but those will go quick too. So
they will. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So head on over to CarbondaleArts.com for all that info. Look under events and fashion show. You can't miss it. And just thank you three for the hard work that you put into this every year. It's amazing to watch it come together as someone who's getting to be a little bit part of it, but just appreciate all that you do. Yeah, it's amazing.
Thank you, Brian. All right.
Let's see. I think we've got a fun song for our next. Oh, do you have something? A fun song for our next guest.
Yeah, Mandy's not coming, but we've got some.
We've got Missy here, so here's some Taylor Swift for those Swifties out there.
I would be complex. I would be cool. They'd say I played the field before I found someone to commit to. And that would be okay for me to do. Every conquest I had made would make me more of a boss to you. I'd be a fearless leader, I'd be an alpha type. When everyone believes ya, what's that like? I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quick or if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again, cause if I was a man, then I'd be the man. I'd be the man. Be the man. They say I hustled,
put in the work. They wouldn't shake their heads and question how much of this I deserve. What I was wearing, if I was rude, could I be separated from my good ideas and power moves? And they would toast to me, or let the players play. I'd be just like Leo in Saint-Tropez. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again, 'cause if I was a man, and getting bitches and models. And it's all good if you're bad, and it's okay if you're mad. If I was out flashing my dollars, I'd be a bitch, not a father. They paint me out to be bad, so it's okay that I'm mad. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man.
Thanks for tuning in to Express Yourself here on KDNK. We're back for more Express Yourself action. Oh, are we going to go through some little upcoming
events? Well, no. We'll talk with Missy first.
Let's
see where we end up. We are here with Missy Moore, Artistic Director of Thunder River Theater Company. Mandy Moore would be with us, but you guys, you know, she booked the Grammys and she had to like meet with someone, and so she's on a plane headed this way now. But we're happy that you know, her career is just exploding, and what an exciting opportunity everyone will have tomorrow night to be able to hear what's going on. So let's hear from Missy on what Thunder Chat is and what we're going to experience tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Thunder Chat is some new programming that I've created for this season. I'm hoping to have Thunder Chat series actually grow to about four times a year. And it is a chance for creatives to come and talk about not only their career, but their lives and what brought them from point A to point B. And our inaugural speaker is going to be Mandy Moore, who is a world-renowned choreographer, director, and producer. And she's going to start a story from when she was a wee one to where she is today. So think a little bit like first half is going to be a TED talk. There will be an intermission. And then the second half is going to be a guided Q&A led by our very own Hattie Rensberry.
Nice. And you know, I think it's, you know, for those that don't know Mandy, I guess it's Mandy Joe.
That's correct. Yep.
Mandy Joe, because there is only one Mandy Joe. There are two Mandy Moore's. And I love that Mandy's production company is called, her own company is called,
it's called Nope Not Her.
Nope Not Her.
Yeah, that is her LLC.
Yeah, which is fantastic. But this Mandy Moore that will be with us tomorrow night is, I mean, super, super charged with so much. Her career is incredible. So do you want to give the audience a little taste of her career?
Absolutely, yeah. Mandy moved out to Los Angeles at the age of 18 with the wish and the dreams to be a professional dancer. And then, you know, Hollywood has a way of humbling you quickly. And she immediately was like, I am not going to work at a Victoria's Secret store. I'm going to integrate myself into teaching. And she started teaching at a senior center, seniors how to tap. And then from there, she went on the dance convention circuit. Oh, wow. And then that led her to meet Carrie Ann Inaba, who, of those of you who don't know, she's a judge on Dancing with the Stars. And then it's a trickle-down effect from there. You know, it's kind of who you know. From there, she then choreographed and produced on So You Think You Can Dance, did Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. That also led to feature films like La La Land, Silver Linings Playbook, to name a few. And her greatest success so far is she did just choreograph Taylor Swift's Eras Tour.
Yeah, so wow. It's no slack little resume there. And, I mean, she just continues because she has won a lot of awards, and she has also choreographed dances at, I think, all of the award show, Academy Awards,
yeah, in 2017, she's the only choreographer to actually choreograph in 1 year the Grammys, the Emmys, the Oscars, and the Golden Globes.
Yeah. Whoa. So she's going to be here. And we are very lucky, and Thunder River is bringing her, and Thunder Chat, she's kicking off Thunder Chat. And so where do people get tickets, and how do they engage?
Yeah, absolutely. You can always call our box office at 970-963-8200, or you can go online to thunderrivertheater.com, and you can purchase tickets online. If you are interested in going, we do have a 25% discount code happening right now. And cool. Yeah, it's called Thunder25. Again, please call the box office if you're looking to experience this but not pay full price, because we certainly want to have our community hear her story.
That's right. I know that Megan is going to go because, you know, she's a choreographer. And I would say, I mean, so many different levels Mandy hits on. I mean, if you're a Taylor Swift fan, your daughter might want to come with you and hear her story. But if you are also in the dance community and world, there's a lot to pick up from Mandy. And you might not know this answer, Missy, but I feel like, I mean, like, her creative vision is very unique, and that is what has really, I think, propelled her career. And do you know where she pulls that from?
You know, I think she was raised in a very nurturing home that told her to excel at her craft and her ambition. Also, Mandy likes a good challenge. I always joke that she's like a Tyrannosaurus Rex in a china shop, but she's got the heart of a ladybug, you know. So she's the kind of person that just leaps at any opportunity and says, yeah, why not? Let's figure it out. And if she doesn't know, she's going to put herself in a place where she will learn how.
And I think that opening scene in La La Land is what really, like, boy, I don't know. Yeah, did you see La La Land?
Yeah.
Where they're all dancing on those cars. And I read it was like something like 60 cars in a parking lot. I mean, that's a big vision to think, I'm going to send these dancers out.
And I believe Mandy, during when they actually went to go shoot it, was like crawling under the cars, counting down dancers as camera was sweeping towards them. So it's those kind of stories that you're going to hear with Thunder Chat, not just like, is Taylor Swift nice? Right. Nothing against you, T Swift. But, you know, it's really going to be about the process.
The craft.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that sounds awesome. And people can get their tickets at the box office or by going on to ThunderRiverTheater.com. And then just a real quick shout out. Tonight we have an event going on at Thunder River as well. The band is in the house, right? Trip Tides. The facility looks awesome. Are there any tickets left?
You can try your luck at the door. I think before I left to come over here, we had possibly 20 tickets left.
Great. Great. So it's going to be a great night. Starts at?
Doors are at 6. DJ Pinto opens the show starting at 7. And then Trip Tides take the stage at 9.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. So hopefully you have your tickets. It's going to be a fun night. There's a lot coming up. And then just real quick, because we have a few minutes, and you are also directing an amazing play, why don't you just throw that in the mix real quick?
Yeah, no rest for the weary right now, right, Amy? I'm just 2 weeks into rehearsal for our third main stage show of the season. It is a play called Tiny Beautiful Things, based off the book by Cheryl Strayed, adapted for the stage by Nia Vardalos, and featuring an amazing cast, Jennifer Austin Hughes, who's the executive producer of Soul Theater Company. We're bringing Brian Landis Fulkins back, who was in Endgame last year. And then rounding off the cast is Jen Klink and Taylor Barr, who is Thunder River Theater Company's technical director.
All right, guys. Going on. We're filled with culture around here.
That's the Carbondale and Roaring Fork Valley way.
Mm-hmm.
Never a dull moment.
Well, thanks, Missy. We'll let you get back to a little work. Maybe we'll play a little music here.
Yeah.
And we'll come back with what's happening this week.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks, Missy.
Dancer.
Friday.
We were just picking out the clothes we were going to wear tonight. Gotta look good. Gotta look good. Because, you know, when you're going out into crowds, you just want
to
shine.
Yeah, we're listening to the Triptides right now. Playing tonight at Thunder River Theater for Ooh-hoo. Pink to Black.
Yeah, thank Series you, El Dorado and TRTC. Well, guys, you know, it is the X Games this weekend. Just in case you have young ones or you're a glutton for punishment, you can head on up. No, the X Games are, you know, are a lot, but they're great, and it's warmed up, and they've got all sorts of music going on up there. Or you can stay home and watch them on TV.
That sounds a lot warmer, that's for sure. Yeah, and I'm just seeing that Independence Run and Hike's got their demo day at Spring Gulch on Sunday.
Ooh,
I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. But
I might go.
Yeah. Hosted by, well, there's a demo period from 9 to 11 at Spring Gulch, and then there's 11:30 a.m. free skate lessons. So I think you can learn more at Independence Run and Hike. You can stop by the shop to sign up and reserve your gear. Sometimes you can just show up there, but last year it was pretty full of people, so I recommend going by the shop.
Yeah, yeah, that's fun. I'm just going to go cross-country skiing for the first time tomorrow. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Let's talk movies. The Oscar nominations came out this week, and this movie at the Crystal Theater, A Complete Unknown. Hopefully you've all seen it.
I did.
But if you haven't seen it, it's excellent. It's up for about, I think, 8 nominations at least, or quite a few nominations. Wow. And Timothy Chalamet is going to be hosting the Saturday Night Live tomorrow night.
Oh, really?
And he's also going to be the musical guest because he did his own singing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so it's still at the Crystal. If you get a chance to go on out, if you haven't seen it, it's great.
Looks like there's some comedy tonight at Takaw at 8 p.m. Comedian Rory Scovel will entertain all. You can get tickets at takaw.org.
I like that they call it Takaw-mity.
Takaw-mity. Yeah, that's a good one. Gotta laugh these days, so perfect excuse for that. I could jump ahead into Tuesday because the Roaring Fork Drawing Club is headed to the launch pad to visit the Carbondale Arts Gallery for the Valley Visual Art Show.
Nice.
That's Tuesday at 6:30, totally free. Just bring your art supplies and come hang out and draw some fun art. And you can also vote for People's Choice Award.
Yeah, I got to still do that. So, yeah, there is lots going on out there, you know, end of January. And once we hit February, I mean, you got Valentine's Day coming up. I think we should try doing another chocolate tasting.
Good idea.
Pollinator. Yeah, I gotta have to try to entice them out here. We will be back next week. And hey, everybody, have a really safe and wonderful weekend.
Stay warm.